Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
A very warm welcome to the Evening Show podcast for Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart. I hope you're very well. Cheers for downloading. Much appreciated. If you love it, make sure you tell your friends and get them to subscribe too.
Radio.
Radio
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
As Blur, End of a Century on Radio X, you're listening to the Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart. We're going to talk about a Britpop now because John Kennedy's walked into the studio. And John, I'm the first person to see you since it was announced that you've got the big interview with Noel Gallagher to celebrate his half century.
I know, it's exciting, isn't it?
It is. It's going to be really
good. Yeah, I mean, some people turn away from when they reach the half century. Other people embrace it, and Noel is clearly doing that.
As Noel always said, ride it till the wheels come off, John. And the wheels are still very well attached to your wagon, aren't they?
Just about.
I was once told that you did Supernova Radio at Nebworth.
I did, yes. Yeah. It was amazing. I mean, it was in the days before Radio X became Radio X and it was XFM years ago when it was campaigning to get a license. I don't know how it happened, but we ended up being given the job of providing this radio station for the weekend of Nebworth. And it was absolutely fantastic because it meant that we all got to go to Nebworth for the whole weekend and hang around backstage and do a few shows over the weekend, which was absolutely fantastic. And watch the shenanigans.
And you survived to tell the tale, John.
Yes, just
about. I've got two questions I really want to ask you. What was the first time you saw Oasis, and when was the first time you interviewed Noel?
Wow. Oh, God. I can't remember the first time I saw Oasis.
Yep.
The first time I interviewed Noel was in the noughties to do with an Oasis album.
Yeah.
And then there was a spell, ever since then I seemed to interview him every time he had something to promote.
Yeah.
You know. And yeah, I mean, he's a gift of an interviewee because he's always got something to say.
Yeah. You don't need many questions, do you?
You don't. No. I mean, that's the great thing.
I've got a challenge for you, actually. He once said, there's not a question in the world you can ask me that would make me feel uncomfortable. Over to you, John. Right?
I don't want to make him feel uncomfortable.
Yes, you do. We all do.
Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
So every Monday night on the Evening Show, I delve a little bit deeper into an album that we all know and love. In the last few weeks, I've had U2 and the Joshua Tree. Last week, Manic Street Preachers, Everything Must Go. And then looking back a bit further, Primal Scream and Screamadelica. So today, I'm going to peel back a few layers on the Libertines' second album. It was the self-titled album from the 30th of August, 2004. I find this baffling every single time. I can't believe that's 13 years ago now. I just remember very, very vividly when I first moved to London and was working in newspapers in 2003, a colleague of mine, a guy called Sean Hamilton, said, "I've seen this band, they're called the Libertines, they're going to be absolutely massive. They'll probably become the most talked about tabloid band of their generation." And sure enough, what happened? Yes, it went absolutely bananas for them. So I remember speaking recently as well to Carl Barrett, and he was telling me about around that time he was living in a brothel with Pete on the Holloway Road in London, and they got free digs because they lived in a cage. That's the kind of thing that was going on around then at the time. So Alan McGee was managing them as well, famous Creation founder Alan McGee, and he said famously, "It's the toughest band he has ever worked with," and he's worked with a few tough bands from Oasis through to Jesus and the Mary Chain. He said they were totally out of control at that time, and within a few days of him agreeing to manage them, Carl Barat was in hospital with his eye hanging out after doing £400 worth of damage when his face was smashed off a sink by Pete. So that's the kind of stuff that was going on. So Pete Doherty, Carl Barat, Gary Powell and John Hassell making mischief on this album. Mick Jones produced it, famous guitarist from The Clash. He's worked with the Gorillaz as well, but imagine trying to pin those boys down in the studio. The album went to number one in the UK, and the single Can't Stand Me Now went into number two in the singles chart. Two of the tracks that I'm going to play are the two singles from the album. Remember that album sleeve as well, the photograph that was taken in the Tap and Tin Club in Chatham and Kent, the glamorous surroundings of Chatham and Kent. And it had a bit of a story behind it, that gig as well, because they'd pretty much split up after the first album. And then, of course, Pete Doherty found himself in prison for burgling his own bandmate, Carl Barat. Doherty had been kicked out the band because of all the trouble he was having with drugs at the time, and he did nick a guitar, a laptop and a very precious mouth organ from Carl as well, amongst other things. So found himself locked up. So that night of that gig in Chatham, everybody was expecting Pete Doherty to turn up, but who else showed up? The rest of the band. And that was sort of the moment they reformed and went off and made a huge success of this album. But the gig did get called short for the usual reasons. Carl ended up in hospital getting even more stitches. It was a bit of a running theme at the time. But thinking back to the sound of this as well, it was really rough and ready, the sound that characterised the band. Loads of bum notes left in, loads of fast drumming, furious guitar licks, all warts and all in that album. There's also a few gentler moments as well, like Don't Be Shy is a lovely emotional track. And what Katie did, depending on who you believe, that might or might not be about Kate Moss. But who knows? So, right, this is Classic Albums, the Libertines' self-titled second album from 2004. I'm going to play two songs back-to-back right now. This will take you flying back 13 years to a magical time. Kicking off with Can't Stand Me Now, followed by What Became of the Likely Lads from the Libertines on Radio X.
The Evening Show, Classic Album of the Week. X. Radio
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic Album of the Week.
X.
Outstanding stuff, the Libertines. What Became of the Likely Lads? And before that, Can't Stand Me Now, taking us back to 2004 when the self-titled second album, The Libertines, came out. And I tell you what, it was a magical time. I've been corrected, though, by Twinkly Beef on Twitter. He said it wasn't Pete who smashed Carl's face off the sink. It was Carl who smashed his own head off the sink. Does that stand correct? There were so many things around that time like that. I was out with Carl recently and he was telling a story about a fight that got so bad he pulled a gun on Pete. And by gun, it was a musket. And he said that Pete was totally unfazed by the fact that his bandmate was standing with a gun pointing in his face, determined to shoot him because he was so wound up. But anyway, he never did it in the end, as you can realise. Producer Vin's not around this week. He's standing in for Ellis and John this week. He's in there. And producer Joe's with me. Joe, around the time this came out, you must have been, what, like 14 years ago? What would you have been, 15, 16?
No, I was 13.
Right, okay. So what did it mean to you then at that time?
Well, I was 13 years old and I was learning to play guitar, and an album that sounds like this, where it sounds like they just stood in the studio, just did it.
Yeah.
And just, you know, like you said earlier, bum notes, everything.
Yeah.
That sort of...
It's encouraging, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, it really was, yeah.
If I can stand on stage and rattle out, then I'm sure I can as well. I remember around that time as well, when you went to those gigs, they had the most incredible loyal following of really seriously, feverishly... keen fans. I think that's the best way to describe them. It was a mad time to see those gigs, and brilliant, brilliant gigs. Stuff I will never, ever forget. I remember at the time as well, NME gave it a brilliant review and said, whatever happens, this is a once-in-a-lifetime album. We won't see their like again. It's pretty true. Pretty true, that. What Became the Likely Lads? That was all about Carl and Pete falling out and getting back together. What's the lyric? If it's important to you, it's important to me. It's a really emotional record, actually, Joe, isn't it, when you're listening to it?
It is, yeah. I was reading about it earlier, and I read a review of... it was a reviewer that had been at that gig.
Chatham Tin.
He said, you know, that it was one of the most emotionally charged gigs that he'd ever watched. You know, apparently none of the crowd knew that the whole band were going to be there. I think they just expected Pete.
Yeah.
And when everyone came on, like you say, the atmosphere just went up out of the roof. Like,
they never left anything in the dressing room, did they? It was always left out on the stage among 40 or 50 fans who joined them on there. So a really special time. Can't Stand Me Now as well. It's often overlooked, I think, but the performance and the vocal in that is Morrissey-esque. There's something magical to it. And every time you hear that song, it feels like you are part of it. Brilliant times, happy times. So that was The Libertines, 2004, can you believe it, 13 years ago, from Classic Albums tonight. I'll be doing that again on Monday. If you want to suggest another album for us to delve a little bit deeper into, why not get in touch at Radio X or 83936.
Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I've got some music news for you now that'll make you feel like you maybe don't spend enough money when you buy music memorabilia. This is absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, the Music Icons 2017 auction was held the other day in the Hard Rock Cafe in New York City. Nearly 400 lots of unbelievable music memorabilia went under the hammer and brought in the best part of £2 million, right? Let me give you an idea of some of the magic that was on there. An original painting by the late, great Nirvana frontman Kurt Cobain of four raccoons in a black tree. How much did that go for? £40,000. That's pounds sterling. Unbelievable. How about this, though? The most expensive item at the auction was a horseshoe-shaped diamond ring that Elvis Presley wore during his famous 1973 Aloha from Hawaii, it's hard to say that, television special. The ring fetched over 100,000 smackaroos. That's a lot of money for a ring that's about 60 years old. I fancied this one, by the way. A Gibson Les Paul slash play during the Super Bowl in 2011 at halftime. That went for £60,000. And also a cape worn by Roger Daltrey. Imagine you bought both of them. at home playing on Slash's Gibson Les Paul while wearing Roger Daltrey's cape. It was a famous gig though at the 67 Monterey Pop Festival. That went for £30,000. That's like a really good car or a house in some parts of this country. My gran's house cost about 30 grand. Anyway, other rock-related collectibles included John Lennon's original sketch for the album cover of the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper Lonely Hearts Club Band album. And I can understand that as well. You know, it's 50 years old in June. And you can imagine that's worth a bit of money, isn't it? You know, it's worth it. 40 grand it went for, £40,000. Well, it actually went for 70, it was expected to get 40. Here's another one for you. There's a copy of the Sgt. Pepper album signed by Paul McCartney, only Paul McCartney, and that went for £3,500. Incredible money, that, isn't it? I mean, people have that kind of cash lying around to buy stuff like that. It's just madness, isn't it? Right, I've got some Beatles for you now. This is from Revolver, the last album before Sgt. Pepper. This is Tomorrow Never Knows on Radio X. Love the Beatles on Radio X. Come on.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That's the Stone Roses Waterfall. Tonight on Radio X, we are Manchester. You're listening to Manchester with Love, a special edition of the Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart. A message there for Sean Keating saying, Manchester, the music capital of the world. John Kennedy has walked into the studio. What do you reckon, John? Music capital of the world?
You could easily argue the case, definitely. And for me, it's so embedded in my very being that it's hard to separate the two.
Yeah. What was the greatest gig you've been to in Manchester?
In Manchester? Wow. That is, well, one of the greatest that comes to my mind is one of my own gigs where I had a little touring posse running around the country. They played in Scotland, they played in Manchester, and they played in London. And watching Good Shoes, who are from Morden, where I'm from, singing in Manchester and getting all the Manx to sing along after my cousins used to tell me that Cockney should die. it felt like a triumph at the time.
Yeah. Do you mind if I share mine with you? 2006, a gig called Manchester versus Cancer at the MEN, Noel Gallagher acoustic set, and it really was incredible. Another thing where Manchester sort of joined forces for a very good reason, a very good cause, but it was a magical show to see, and it was my 26th birthday, and I think to say I celebrated it in style is definitely the way to sum that one up, but it does have so many amazing memories for most people as well, regardless of where you come from. It's totally been the theatre of so many great gigs.
Oh yeah, I mean the 70s, 80s, 90s and into the noughties, Mancunian musicians have shaped the music of Britain and the music of the world, and we listen and play their music every single day of our lives, and those influences echo down through generation after generation. I mean, that's why it's so hard to separate and so hard to pinpoint exact things that we celebrate as the ultimate moment, because they keep providing ultimate moments, I think.
Yeah, for some amazing messages tonight, John, and maybe you've got a few to read out tonight in your show as well, but you're a family man too, and you know, music's such an important thing as well, and at times like this, it's too easy to sort of fall into some of the blame and anger and all the rest of it, but there's a lot of good things to think about at times like this. Manchester's produced some amazing stuff over the years.
And it will continue to do so. Yeah. No, there's no question about it. It continues on and on.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was the Evening Show podcast. I hope you liked it. If you liked it, subscribe, tell your friends, and leave a review. Thank you very much. I'll be back with another one next week.
Radio X.